Welcome to the Air Force Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Eric White. On the theory that the more you know about everyone else's job, the more effectively you'll do yours, leadership at Travis Air Force Base has launched what it calls an enrichment program. It gives people throughout a squadron a view into one another's work. To find out more details about what they're hoping to achieve, Federal News Network's Tom Temin spoke with Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro.
We have a dynamic mission, so we're one of few installations that actually have three what we call platforms, which in this case is aircraft. We have the KC-10, the C-5, and the C-17. And in a nutshell, our mission is to rapidly project American air power anytime, anywhere.
So you've got all the big birds.
We do. They're all significantly large aircraft.
And these are mainly transport missions, and the KC-10, I guess, is the refueling aircraft.
That's correct. So the C-17 is a kind of a combination of a tactical strategic airlifter. The C-5 is a strategic airlifter. It's the real big one. And then the KC-10 is the air refueler.
That's right. You can play football almost in the C-5, if I recall.
Pretty much. If you don't want a full football field, but yeah, you definitely can. Have a fun game.
And it will maybe long but narrow. How many aircraft are there? I mean, what's the sense of that, and how many people are there?
Wow. So I think the number we're currently using for Travis Air Force Base is right around 25,000 people on Travis Air Force Base.
All right. So a pretty major installation, and you are embarking on a program of enrichment. And as I understand it, it's trying to get people in various jobs to understand in some detail what everyone else in the chain of events does. Tell us about the program.
Yeah, so I mean, as you can imagine, so our airmen, as we call ourselves, are highly trained professionals. Very often, though, they're 19, 20 year olds, and they can get focused really on their own mission, their own objectives, and sometimes they don't have an understanding of or a full understanding of how their specific job contributes to the overall mission. And that was our goal, to kind of tie everybody in together in that big cube of mission set and give them an understanding of the overall picture and where they fall. And more importantly, that what they do does have an impact on the mission here at Travis Air Force Base.
Well, the implication in what you say is that the tasks connected to keeping the planes in the air and completing their missions extends beyond the flight line, because I'm sure someone refueling a plane knows their importance to it, or someone fixing an engine. But it sounds like the jobs you're thinking of go way beyond that.
Oh, absolutely. So in this particular case, we kind of focused on, so the host of this program was the operations group, which is, as you say, our operators. So these are our air crews and things of that nature. But what we wanted to do, so we hosted medics and maintainers and actually people in services that prep the food or that work in our gymnasiums. And in this particular case, we were able to show, for example, we'll take the medics. We let them interact with some of our aviators, some of our what we call our radar controllers, our tower folks. And we said, hey, all those physicals, all of those x-rays, all of those patients you're seeing are the individuals you just saw controlling aircraft and operating aircraft. And we try to do that with everybody, from the maintainers down to the security forces folks, down to the services folks. And the feedback we got was amazing. I think we even exceeded our own expectations.
And are all the people involved civilian? I mean, are they all airmen, or does it also involve civilians that might be connected to the...
For our launch program, it was all active duty airmen.
All right. And what form does it take? I mean, how do you get an X-ray technician or a medic to understand what a maintainer does, and a maintainer to understand what a food service person does?
Well, you show them, basically, and that's what we did here. We use this big buzzword called innovation, and it's big here in the Department of Defense, specifically here in the Air Force, and even more so at Travis Air Force Base. And when we think of innovation, we kind of are always thinking about gadgets and the next iPhone and things of that nature. We took it a step further and said, hey, how can we innovate how we develop our future leaders? And that's what we did here. We wanted to show them and not just talk to them about what they're doing and how they're impacting the mission. So in this particular, on this day, we brought airmen from all around Travis Air Force Base, and we said, these are the aircraft. This is the control tower. This is our RAPCON. The RAPCON is our radar approach control. And we even took it a step further, and we put them in a simulator, and all of them got to operate some sort of aircraft in the simulator on that day. We finished it off with a heritage event, and they all got to interact with our individual operational squadrons and see how the different mindsets, the cultures can be different from an operations group to a medical group to a maintenance group to a mission support group and so on and so on.
So this all took place in the course of one day?
It did. This was all one day. It was one really long day. And we disguised developing folks into fun, and it was really successful.
What were some of the feedback pieces that you got? What did people say? I mean, imagine someone who is in, again, a gymnasium employee getting into a cockpit or into a simulator. It must have been quite a deal.
So the feedback came in the way of this was amazing. We got the amazing comments. We got the phenomenal comments. We got all that. But honestly, the feedback that I really, really cherished was some of the questions that we got asked about the mission. I thought we were going to get more of the fun gee whiz questions, but they really started asking strategic level questions. And we're talking about E3s and E4s up to E6s that were asking some very Air Force level mindset questions and what the future is for the operations group, what some of the logistics issues that an operations group encounters. And that's where I thought we hit a home run when we started hearing some of those types of questions, all the way down to when the very next day our public affairs folks were starting to get questions about, hey, how do I participate in this enrichment program? Where do I sign up? Because this sounds like something I want to do. And that's where we knew we kind of exceeded even our own expectations.
That's Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. More of our interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Artificial intelligence is often portrayed as a magic wand that will solve everything. But in reality, unlocking the power of AI comes from looking beyond the hype and focusing on thoughtful and realistic problem solving. At Leidos, we're focused on helping our customers adopt AI and machine learning tools with solutions that solve real problems. With a deep understanding of our customers, we're creating reliable, resilient, and secure solutions that look beyond the hype. Learn more at Leidos.com/AI.
We continue our interview with Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro from Travis Air Force Base, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
I'm interested in particular on the maintainers, for example, because they do fix the planes, correct? And my understanding of some of these high-performance and sensitive aircraft is they spend almost as much time in maintenance as they do in flying. What kind of interaction normally is there between, say, direct air crews that go up and the maintainers on the ground that make sure the planes start when you turn the key?
Right. So that's a really good question, and it's hard. So I'll tell you, I'm a previous maintainer. I originated as a maintainer in the Air Force, and I can tell you firsthand that as a maintainer, you generate the aircraft and eventually you see it go. You never really have that overall picture of how you impacted the mission. For example, our air refuelers, as they go out, you don't see the second and third order effects of your work. And our goal here with this program was to really, really get them immersed into, hey, you have a direct impact on the success of this mission set.
Because in the case of, say, the KC-10, they may not see the fact that there might be two or three aircraft flying very high, very fast, and very close together, and it can be hairy if everything doesn't perform correctly. Is that the kind of thing you mean?
Absolutely. We at every time one of these aircraft leave the ground, we have taken a leap of faith and said, I trust in the maintainer. I trust in the medic that these folks are healthy. I trust that the maintainer turned the wrench appropriately. I trust that the food I was served at the dining facility was at the right temperature, prepared correctly, stored correctly. The people that prepped it were trained correctly, and so on and so on. I trust that the security forces folks are keeping our base safe. Every single time one of these aircraft get on the ground, we are basically stating that's exactly what happened.
Sure, there's a famous legend. It's probably just a legend, but the legend has it that during a tour of NASA, and this comes in the context of the nation having just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, that President Kennedy asked an employee pushing a broom in the hallway at NASA and asked him, "What do you do?" And the person answered, "I'm helping put a man on the moon." That's kind of what you're after, it sounds like.
That's exactly what we're after. And that's the ultimate goal of the program is the way you put it, is to put that man on the moon. The ultimate goal of that program is for that airman, regardless of what they do, where they do it, and how they're doing it in their cubicle, in their office space, or out on the flight line, is for them to say, hey, I just got another aircraft off the ground.
And what is the future of this enrichment program? Will you repeat it? Do you plan to bring in perhaps civilian employees?
I think there are no limitations right now. I think our leadership here at Travis Air Force Base has said, let's take it to the next level. So I would like for my operations group airmen, so my air crews, I would love for them to see what the medics do. I would love to see what the maintainers do. I would love them to see what some of the mission supporters do, and so on and so on. Eventually, the goal is for this to reach every airman here on Travis Air Force Base.
And do you have the budget for a little swag? So maybe the kitchen staff can have a T-shirt that says, "Hey, I flew in a simulated C-17.
So in the heritage events that we had on this particular day, yes, every airman that joined a squadron in a sense became an honorary member of that squadron. So we have medics now that are honorary members of the 22nd Airlift Squadron, the C-5 Squadron here. We have security forces folks that are members of the 9th Air Refueling Squadron, which is one of our air refueling squadrons here, and so on. You know, I mean, you get where I'm going with this. But it was really the results of the program and how excited everybody was that led us to believe that we got exactly what we were wanting out of this program.
Sure, got it. And so you do plan to do this in some other format in the future. I mean, this is not the end of it.
So we do. When we first created this program, or I say when we first started talking about it, we basically just talked about some sort of immersion, and we took it a step further. And every time we talked about it, we just got excited about how in depth we can get with everything. I was excited right from the very beginning because as a young airman, one of my biggest pet peeves was when somebody, especially one of my leaders, would tell me that I don't have the bigger picture. That would just kind of enrage me, and I almost just wanted to yell back, "Well, then it's because you failed to give it to me." So this was our way of saying, "Hey, here is the bigger picture."
And I'm curious, how much job mobility is there within a place like Travis Air Force Base? I can see if you're a co-pilot, you could aspire to be a pilot. But, I mean, how much mobility across domains is there in reality if someone was so smitten by this that they'd like to go from maintenance to perhaps aboard in some capacity?
I think in the long run, that might even have been one of our objectives. We actually have an airman retraining program for our enlisted folks. And if they're a first-term airman and they decided, "Hey, the Air Force is not what I thought it was going to be," and then they separate after their initial enlistment, then we give them, you know, their all of their awards, and we say thank you for participating. But if for some reason they see something else and they say to themselves, "Wow, that looks like something I would like to do," we actually have avenues they can take. And if on this particular day they saw something, whether it was our in-flight refuelers or our flight engineers or our loadmasters or our radar approach controllers or tower, whatever it might be that they might have seen, if they saw something like, "Hey, that's something that kind of caught my eye and interests me," the Air Force provides avenues for them to go back, retrain, and become one of those members.
So is it, in theory at least, possible for someone to become a pilot that wasn't on that track originally?
Absolutely. Yes, we have a lot of we can provide tons of examples on when somebody might have been a maintainer, went back to school, went through OTS or whatever program they used to commission, and then could become a pilot. Absolutely.
What is your own history? You mentioned you were a maintainer, but give us a little more detail.
I joined the Air Force to do that, just that, to maintain aircraft. I was loving it. I was coming home covered in grease and grime and filth, and I was doing exactly what I wanted in the Air Force. When I hit about my four-year mark, just shy of my four-year mark, we had too many people in my career field, so I got what's called a mandatory cross-train notice. I went back, and at that point, we didn't have computers to go back and see what jobs were available, so I had to go and look through these giant books as to what career fields were available for me, and I came across the flight engineer career field, and it seemed like right up my alley. So I volunteered, I got accepted. I went through about a two-year retraining process, and honestly, it ended up being a blessing in disguise because it was really my calling. I became a flight engineer, and I thought this is actually what I joined the Air Force to do. And being a maintainer was my avenue to get here.
So a flight engineer is the person behind, say, in the third seat that is watching all of the aboard systems while the pilots are navigating and making the plane go where it's supposed to.
Correct. So a flight engineer will take on different aspects on different aircraft. So here we have flight engineers on the C-5 and on the KC-10, but across the Air Force, we also have them on AWACS, on 130s, on several other aircraft. Every aircraft, the flight engineer will take on just a little bit different role. But yeah, you are basically you're another pilot, a systems expert, a mission expert, and your plan is to make the mission set just a little bit easier for everybody.
And I suppose as a former maintainer, if you hear something funny or something funny happens to an engine or something, you could say, you know, I know what that is. It's probably the XYZ valve.
You can. It helps a lot. As a matter of fact, up until just recently, you had to have a maintenance background to be a flight engineer. We are changing the business rules a little bit to open the aperture up to other folks that would be interested as well. But yeah, definitely. You don't want to sit there and tell a maintainer their job, even if you are a previous maintainer. But it does help with the flight engineer duties.
And how often do you actually go in the air? In times relatively peaceful.
As now a leader of a squadron, I don't get to fly nearly as often I would like. But we still have currency I have to maintain, so I have to fly at least once every 60 days. And I still have all my training. I have simulators I have to do. I have all my ground training I have to accomplish. And everything that's required of a flight engineer, I still have to do.
Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro speaking to Federal News Network's Tom Temin. We'll have the rest of our interview after one more break. I'm Eric White.
Artificial intelligence is often portrayed as a magic wand that will solve everything. But in reality, unlocking the power of AI comes from looking beyond the hype and focusing on thoughtful and realistic problem solving. At Leidos, we're focused on helping our customers adopt AI and machine learning tools with solutions that solve real problems. With a deep understanding of our customers, we're creating reliable, resilient, and secure solutions that look beyond the hype. Learn more at Leidos.com/AI.
Our final segment with Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro from Travis Air Force Base. He spoke with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
And getting back to the enrichment day, that might be something that people further away from the direct flying roles may not realize, is how much time is spent in training. Even after you get the wing or you get the permission to go upstairs, it never stops, does it?
Correct. So we actually call it continuation training because it's continuous. And that's kind of what we were trying to engulf them into when we took them out to the simulators and said, this is no kidding. I mean, it looks fun, but it's part of our everyday life.
And what preparations are going on there for receipt of the KC-46 if they ever get that thing ready to go and in volume?
So as you probably aware, the KC-46 is already arrived at other of our bases. I think here at Travis, we're still in the early stages of the preparation. We are planning on getting the KC-46, but it'll all depend on what our Air Force leaders determine for that platform.
So a little bit too far yet in the future to predict how it'll affect Travis at this point.
Yeah, I think I don't know if too far is the right. We're definitely in the very early stages of the planning for the arrival here.
And with respect to the enrichment program, it sounds like you had a lot of support from the upper brass and from across the board there, too.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, so our wing leadership was always on board from the very beginning. They gave us a blank canvas and just let us paint our picture. But more importantly, I think it was the individuals that helped with the actual program. We had individuals, if I could say some names, Major Gunnels, who's in our OST, he did all of our simulator portion. And then we had POCs, or point of contacts for each individual weapon system. We had Senior Mass Sergeant Edwards from the 9th Air Refueling Squadron. We had Mass Sergeant Christopher Boots from the C-5s. He's over in our operations group. And then Mass Sergeant Donnie McCorkle. He's one of our C-17 loadmasters. And then finally, Tech Sergeant Emily Overcash, who was basically the brains behind all of the sequencing and logistics, were amazing. And every time I ask somebody to help us out, they just jumped right on board and just knocked it out of the park.
Now, you sound pretty excited about this. And let me ask you this question. When you think of the Air Force writ large, what is the selling proposition for someone, some young man or woman who's thinking about a future? What's the selling proposition from your standpoint as to why they should think about the Air Force?
Because it's a challenging experience, and if you want to be challenged, I think we have exactly what you have, what you need, and what you want. If you're looking to broaden your experiences and have that scope of that what we call the whole airman concept, we would say welcome aboard, because it's endless, literally, to use a cliche, the possibilities are endless as what you can do as an airman in our Air Force.
And the hardware is pretty cool too, isn't it?
It is. So, I mean, that's, we disguised a day of developing leaders into fun. And it was just that it was fun.
Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Eric Fierro speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. If you missed any part of this interview, you can find it online. Head to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to the Air Force Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.